G'day, Denny. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Well, I'm surprised you haven't brought something up this morning. I was watching the rookie special on Fox last night.
Yes.
And there was young Loz in all his glory. Mate, he didn't have his shirt on very much. And I did notice that there was almost a Better Than Lego style interview with Laurie after a grand final or something where I couldn't understand one word he said.
Yeah, I was with you, Denny. I didn't get a word.
I haven't seen it. Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't.
Can we have a translator, please?
Yeah, well, so what year was it? What?
It could have been any year.
Right.
It was 89.
And what was he, a little under the weather?
A little.
Yeah.
A few too many West Coast coolers.
Clearly back in Canberra. And it looks like you're wearing a visor backwards or something as well.
He had a white tennis shirt on of some description.
Yeah.
You look like you're going to play Wimbledon, Loz.
Oh, right here. I can't remember what year it was. I'm assuming probably 89.
You were well hydrated.
That's probably the one that I celebrated the longest and hardest.
Mm. Rightly so, too.
You dropped the trophy?
That was it. That was the year. I had a big time, 89. I nearly got the Don't Come Monday too, I think, after some of my efforts. Looking back now, though, I reckon I'd probably would have got a year. I would have been suspended for a year if it was today's environment.
Like the tennis shirt you're wearing would have matched the Dunlop volleys pretty well.
Oh, that was my most embarrassing moment, putting the Dunlop volleys on. I'd never heard of Nikes or Pumas.
Oh, my God.
KT20s
KT26s, weren't they?
Yeah, they were the goes.
And we used to play squash in the volleys, right?
Yeah, tennis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But that was... it was funny because I didn't... When I first went to the Raiders... I'll tell you the other story. So, I probably shouldn't say this, but you can now. So I'd signed, all right, and I went over to, it was the Raiders' first day of training, and we drive over to Canberra to sign a contract. So, we get there at about 11 o'clock, and John McIntyre, who's the CEO at the time, he said to my father, he goes, we'll go for lunch, and Laurie can stay and train with the team at 5:30 this afternoon. So Dad goes, yeah, that's a great idea. So Dad goes for lunch. I go to lunch with them. So I've eaten Chinese and Dad and JR and a number of other blokes, they're on the drink. All right, so they're on the drink. We're not staying the night, by the way. And I'm 16 and a half, so I've only got my ills. So what we do is Dad gives me $20 to go to the shops to get a pair of boots. The club give me gear and I rock up over to Seaford Oval and I've got the box with the volleys in them and I put them on to train with. And that was so embarrassing, Denny. And the boys never have forgotten it. And every time I see them, they keep reminding me of it. You can only imagine this 16 and a half year old young lad knew absolutely no one.
I reckon when you got that Nike sponsorship worth of $1 squillion, you'd have been shoving it in their face a bit.
Oh, well, I was happy once I got that. But I'm going to have a look at this Doco and Ricky tonight.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it'll be on at some point today. Geez, not much news in the rugby league. Well, Denny?
Oh, God, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, the Wags have been dominating, haven't they? And the lockdown they've been in, taping up their doors so they can't have fresh air and can't open their balconies. And I thought Daly Cherry Evans had a really interesting perspective on it yesterday where he basically, without using the words, he said, look, I've just got to suck it up. And he's got a wife and three kids in that situation. And he said that when they come out the other side, they're going to be in a far more privileged position than a lot of people in Sydney at the moment. And it was a really mature attitude from Daly and one that, he gets knocked a lot as a person and as a player, but I think he's grown into a really good leader. And I know he copped a lot during the Queensland Origin series, but I thought he tried his backside off during that time. And I thought he showed real maturity in the way he handled that situation when it comes to the Wags. Because it wouldn't be easy. I mean, you can imagine there'd be plenty of people not happy about the way the conditions changed for the Wives. And that they went into their quarantine situation, thinking initially they could lie by the pool and go to the gym, and they haven't really been out of their rooms other than to eat, and now they can mix in a common area, which is better. But I think they deserve a fair bit of credit, the Wives, because it wouldn't be easy. And I know a lot of people are in worse situations, but they're doing their best, and I hope it goes off without a hitch, because I'm nervous about the future of the competition.
Danny, the other thing he's been quite vocal on is the World Cup withdrawal. What's your take on Australia and New Zealand not being involved in the World Cup?
Are you going to get stuck into me too, Pup, without like...
Depends. If your answer's like Buzz, most probably.
Well, I think you've tried really hard as a cricketer all the time. You never put your feet up.
Very once. Kind. Thank you, buddy.
There you go.
Much better. We'll be fine for the next 12 minutes.
Look, I understand why Australia and New Zealand pulled out. I get it. And if it is for player safety, you can't. It's hard to, on the surface, it's hard to argue with that. Underneath it, though, you've got to say, well, I think that the World Cup organisers were going to try and make things pretty safe for the players. They were going to be in hubs, bubbles, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know how deep that reasoning is. I mean, maybe the NRL is taking a hit for the clubs, because I don't think the clubs really wanted the players to go. I think for some time now we've been hearing the discussion that they go away, they quarantine when they come back, and then they have a very limited preparation for next season. And we all know who pays the players' wages. And I understand from a club perspective that they want their very best players to be functioning at a high level. And it has been an extremely stressful, taxing, probably 18 months or so for the players, who I know that they get to ply their trade and they get to live and earn their income. But living in a bubble, seeing what they're going through, cannot be easy. Being away from their families cannot be easy. So I get where the clubs are coming from. It's not an ideal situation, because next year I don't think they can play it either. There was an emergency board meeting overnight in England, and I think there's going to be further meetings to see what they can come up with. The idea of the Indigenous teams from Australia and New Zealand is quite interesting, but I don't know whether you can experiment at a World Cup. So I don't think there's an easy situation, an easy way to solve it.
Can I ask, mate, because you know what it's like. No one wants to put their hand up and say they don't want to go. And there's a lot of players saying, oh, yeah, I want to go. Do you get the feeling, though, that the players may not have been consulted and they desperately wanted to go, or are they happy to sort of hide behind the fact that this has all been done for them?
I'm hearing different stories. From the NRL, I was told that the Players Association were consulted right until the death. And they were told everything that was going on. And then the NRL was surprised when the Players Association came out and criticised the decision not to go. So I don't know who to believe in that situation, but I mean, I was asking about what the players are thinking. And individual players I've talked to say they want to go. So yeah. Like in a lot of rugby league, it's a mess. And it's unfortunate, because it is supposed to be a very prestigious tournament for rugby league, and it loses almost all of its prestige. People will probably disagree with it, without Australia and New Zealand, but I don't think it's much of a tournament.
Well, we'll ask Clint Newton. We've got him on the show just after 8 o'clock this morning. So we got him on just after 8 o'clock, the boss of the Rugby League Players Association. Now, we're just trying to get Loz a junket. Too as well.
Would you do it, Loz, or not?
If invited, yeah, I would. Yeah, no, I would. I think if the players wanted to go and be a part of it, I think it'd be good. Yeah, I'd certainly put my hand up to go. But again, I haven't lived the bubble lifestyle like them, so a lot of those players might be thinking, oh, it's just too much. You know, I want to have a rest and spend some time with my family. But if the players were willing to put their hand up and go, of course you'd say yes and go and lend a hand.
Have any players talked to you about it and said, Laurie, we'd like you to do it? Would you get on board?
No, they haven't. But one thing I do know is that a lot of the Indigenous players have made it quite clear to the Indigenous Advisory Council, which I'm a part of, they'd like to enter a team.
It'd be good to watch.
Yeah, it certainly would be. It'd be a very good team.
All right, in club land, Joey Manu, the Warriors coming to put a massive offer on the table for him, did I read, Denny?
Yeah, look, so they want him to play 5'8", and they're prepared to make him their marquee signing. Obviously, the Warriors need some good news after Rogers' decision to go home. So this story is getting pushed around the place now that they're going to have a big crack at Joey Manu, and they want him to play number 6. They've obviously got Reece Walsh, who can play fullback. And Joey's got a big decision to make because the Roosters, I'm sure, will throw good money at him. It won't be the $1 million that he can probably get from the Warriors. I think he'll be considerably short of that. So he's going to have to make a decision whether he wants to stay in a system and a club and with a coach that he knows and obviously is used to, and probably end up playing, centres and playing, fullback sometimes if Teddy's not there, but right, largely being a centre, or going for the big bucks. And it's a tough call for him.
What about Dale Finucan signing with the Sharks? I think that's a good signing. The only question mark, I suppose, is 4 years compared to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I spoke to Dale at length yesterday, Laurie, and that was one of the things I put to him, that the criticism has been that he has signed for 4 years, which is not it's good luck to Dale, but it's the reason, people want to say largely it's because of Craig Fitzgibbon, but look, let's be frank, it's because there's 4 years there,
yeah,
and he's getting that fourth year out of Cronulla, and he plays tough. And when I spoke to Dale about it, he said, well, that's to think that I couldn't go 4 years and be having a bad attitude. In fact, I might even go longer. So that's the way he's thinking, is that he won't finish necessarily at 34. This might not be last contract he signs. And, you've got to admire his attitude. I mean, look, he's making the very most out of every bit of ability he's got. He's as tough as they come. I think I've said it on the show before, I watched him during Origin training, and when he wasn't even playing in game two, he looked like he was the captain of the side almost. That's how hard he was going, how vocal he was. And he was doing the extras even though he wasn't playing. And then it was no real surprise when Freddie Fittler made him vice captain when he brought him into the side for the last game. Mm. That's the sort of bloke he is, and that's what Cronulla are going to get. And, yeah, it probably is a gamble, the fourth year, but not if you talk to Dale. It's a given, and he could go beyond that. He could play longer than Paul Gallen.
Yeah, I like what they've done, the Sharks, in terms of grabbing Finucane and McGuinness, and they're two leaders, and they're two people that can change the whole culture of an organisation just through their leadership and their work ethic. And you throw
great
in
signing.
Yeah, no, I think they're two tremendous signings. It's all about character with those two, and they'll add to this Sharks roster, who are still a chance of playing finals football this year, and they've got a big game coming up this weekend.
I still think they treated Johnny Morris badly.
Yep.
And look, they have supported Craig Fitzgibbon very well, and I think, no knock on Fitzy, I think he's going to be a very good coach. I do think it's unfair that Johnny Morris got shown the door the way he did, and I would have liked to have seen whether he could have attracted these sort of players as well with a checkbook and with some space in the cap. I don't think his contribution at Cronulla should just be tossed out, because I think he did a really good job under trying circumstances.
Denny, what about Anthony Milford? What's the latest on him?
Yeah, look, I'm hearing South Sydney are really considering making a play for him. It's been bubbling in the background now for a little while. I think the Gold Coast have some interest as well. But South may be a little bit skinny in the halves next year. Obviously, Adam Reynolds going. I don't know if Benji's going to go again. I'd, I'd be a little bit surprised if he went another year, but they may see Milford as some sort of backup. I'd be really interested to hear what Lodge thinks of, you know, whether he'd be a good fit for South. And I mean, Cody Walker's going to run that team next year, and I'd be really curious to see what your thoughts are on Milford.
Yeah, I don't know whether Milford and Cody would be the best combination. I think Cody works better when he's got that dominant playmaker in front of him. It just frees Cody up to play both sides and do his own thing. I think you'd stifle him a little bit if you gave him the dominant number seven role. But that's for South Sydney to work out. They might have a different style under Jason Demetriou rather than a Wayne Bennett, but I wouldn't be tinkering too much with what Cody's been able to do at the moment. This one surprised me, Denny. Abby Corrissau, sorry. Corrissau Abby. Abby Corrissau. Everyone just assumed that, you know, things went swimmingly for New South Wales, but then this sort of got leaked to the press, and he was facing a two-match suspension and a $35,000 fine like Jai Arrow. Was the ban justified and acceptable, or should it have been a bigger price? And the future, what does it look like in terms of Appy playing for New South Wales again?
The Blues are filthy on Appy. They are really, really dirty on his behaviour. Look, I'm not going to go into his morality on this program, and that's for other people to make their judgments. However, in terms of the broken trust as a teammate and as a member of a group that Brad Fittler has brought together for 4 years and worked towards having good people in his squad and good behaviour, I think it's really poor from Appy. And Dave, I had a lengthy chat with Dave Trodden, who was fierce in his words. He said the trust was gone when it came to Appy, and they are looking at whether there should be further sanctions. And yeah, he's in trouble on the home front. We all know that. But as a professional footballer, I think it'd be he's got a long way back before he's considered as a New South Wales player again. And It's from a football perspective, it's a shame because he's a very good player. However, his actions were poor. The deceit was there for his teammates. And I actually think he got off light. I think two games is, I suppose, okay. The fine's light. Appy would have earned, $30,000 from a couple of origins, and he's been fined 35. I think he should have been hit with a bigger fine. And if the Blues choose not to include him in their squad for some time, I wouldn't argue with that. Freddie is a forgiving individual. He knows the difficulties that players have gone through in the last 18 months or so. That may weigh on his mind to some degree, but I do know the Blues hierarchy are really dirty, and I tend to think that Appy's future in New South Wales is limited.
Great to talk to you, Denny. Have a good week, mate.
See you guys.